entire winter season at last Thursday. Wonderful to be back in camp, and we always think about what happened last year, those of us who have the habit of reminiscing, a famous pastime here. You know, you think about memories, it was just last year, for those of us who were here last year, entire winter season, and last Thursday. Wonderful to be back in camp, and we always think about what happened last year, those of us who have the habit of reminiscing, a famous pastime here. You know, you think about memories, it was just last year, for those of us who were here last year, and those of you who came to the series last year, that I believe it was a series under the memorial lecture series, am I correct, of last year? It was quite memorable. And I get excited even thinking about some of the things that went on during that very interesting and I hope entertaining, as informative, and most important of all, uplifting series. This year, the series is entitled Shalom, Shalom, Ve'ein Shalom. For those who don't know, it's a pasuk in Yom Yov, the precise Perek Vov, pasuk Yud Dalet. And the words Shalom, Shalom are attributed to the Nevi'e HaSheker, the false prophets, who countered Yirmiyahu's dire warnings of impending doom by reassuring the people, don't worry about it, shalom, shalom, there's going to be peace, peace, no problem. And Yirmiyahu said, there ain't shalom, there is no peace. You think there's peace, but the enemy is marching on the city. And we live in strange times. On the one hand, those of us who are old enough to remember, and there's some of the ones who are older than me who can remember much better, we live in the greatest of times. It's incredible. The growth of the Torah community, let's say since this camp was open, let's talk, you know, and before that it's called a Bria Sa'olam, but Camp Marash opened in 1964. The 32 years since Camp Marash opened, the Torah community has exploded, both in terms of numbers, as well as in terms of, and it's two are connected to each other, services and institutions and all kinds of such great things are happening in the Jewish community, which was as recently as the opening of Camp Marash were unthinkable and unheard of. Just to give a few examples, some of you are young enough to think of these things existed forever. We won't talk about kosher pizza shops. That already began a few years before. I remember when they were not. But first one opened on the Lower East Side. Noah's Ark, for those who want to know the curiosa. At least as far as I remember. As when I was a student at RJJ, so around the corner. We weren't allowed to go there, by the way, because there were girls. Okay. I never said foot. They don't like pizza. But there were some of us who didn't like pizza, but anyway, I can't imagine why. Okay. And just to go to be more and more serious note, there were no, you know, until how much? 20 years ago, there was no such thing as an art scroll. I just read about it in their advertisements this year. It's only 20 years old. Hatzalah. I take it for granted in many Jewish communities. How old is Hatzalah? No. I think it's less than 20 years old. Okay, so we're talking about that's 18 years. All these things have happened, and many, many more. The yeshivas have doubled and tripled, and it's just only to say the same as Marashah, we're at full capacity for the last 30 years, so they just can't go any bigger. So we spawned Masorah and there and there, but the communities are growing. All different parts of the Jewish, Orthodox Jewish community. I'm only talking Orthodox. The rest of the Jewish community disappeared rapidly. Ain't shalom. But even in our community, where we think shalom, shalom, everything is great, wonderful, fantastic, more learning and more shuls and more yeshivas, and more chassidus, and more chumras, and more intensity. Everything's wonderful. Shalom, shalom. And I'm here to tell you that, yes, it's true. That's the first, the top of the top. That's where the top of the flyer says, Shalom, Shalom. It is. It's really, it's great, it's wonderful. But the bottom, it says, Ve'en Shalom. Because paradoxically, together with the great Shalom, the great peace, the great successes of the Orthodox community in this country, there are, unfortunately, failures. Failures that were equally inconceivable in 1964. Just as our great successes were unimaginable, you could never have dreamt of such incredible achievements in the span of a generation, so too some of the colossal failures, especially those that have been brought to the public eye, and I will not reveal any secrets here, I don't want to tell tales out of school. I'm talking about things which have been revealed publicly in the media, which are a scourge, a black eye for this great Orthodox Jewish community. And many of these things have sown confusion, because whoever thinks that the Nevi'ei HaSheker of Yirmiyahu's time didn't have a basis for what they said, I'm sure they had a basis. So too, the Nevi'ei HaSheker of today, everyone has a basis. Rashi quotes, "Kol Sheker she'ein bo tzas emes." It was a partial Shlach, I believe, not so long ago. That every Sheker has a little bit of truth. There's always something there to fool the people. You have to, people aren't so completely stupid. They know what's going on a little bit. So you fool them with a little. Then comes the twist, the curveball that people don't fail to detect with the notice. That's the theme for this summer. Shalom, shalom, ve'en shalom. And we will be discussing in the opening 2 weeks of the series. We'll have a break at Tisha B'Av, and we'll continue with the last three afterwards. And maybe it's appropriate that way. That we're now that we're in the Etzem 3 weeks, the time of the Churban, that we speak about the Ein Shalom. We're going to be speaking about two organizations. The one this week and one next, both of which start with the word Shalom. This week we'll be discussing the Shalom Bias Organization, and next week we'll be discussing the Shalom Task Force. I don't know if you have heard of either of these organizations, but I have. And I want to discuss these issues with you, one this week and one next. The Shalom Bias Organization is an almost anonymous organization. By which I mean, there is no, to my knowledge, there is no rabbi, perhaps not even any person, any mister, any individual, who is officially associated by name with this group. If the sound of the Ku Klux Klan, I think there they even have people who are willing to put their names up. To my knowledge, to this day, this organization's around for a couple of years, there's no names. Points of this is this, he's part of it, he's part of it. It's only Yossi, we'll discuss Yossi later. I don't know if we discussed it here in our series 2 years ago, maybe. The Kiddushei Ketana controversy. I think it's 2 years old, is it not? It was only last year? Well, then I. Right, it was last, then we never discussed it in this forum because. We were too busy with other things last year. Kiddushei Ketana was the brainchild of the Shalom Bias Organization. Let me explain briefly, though that's not our main topic for tonight. There was a man named Goldstein. What a name. Goldstein. And he's having a dispute with his estranged wife. He refuses to give her a get. She's an aguna. And they're going back and forth. Besdin, court. It's a terrible dispute. It's a terrible spat, fight. And apparently he's losing the fight, losing the battle. You lose, you become desperate. So some brilliant rabbi associated with the Shalom Bias Organization gives him an idea. I have the ultimate weapon for you. The nuclear bomb of marital dispute. This empowers you as a man to a remarkable extent. As if men need empowerment. They already have this kol aguna weapon they're only going to get. But, you know, women can get even in different ways. Guy's losing in court, he's losing money, he's losing custody. He wants custody of his children. Kind-hearted soul that he is. He decides to use this weapon. He learned somewhere, somebody taught him, Pasuk says, Sefer Devarim, Biti nosati lo ish hazeh, I gave my daughter as a wife to a particular individual. That a father has the halachic right to betroth his daughter, to arrange for his daughter to become betrothed, that's called kiddushin or erusin, when she is a ketana, when she's under the age of 12, to any man he pleases. This is an institution which is not a matter of dispute, that the father has the power to do so. It's a pasuk in Chumash, Gemara. There's no question about it. When is the last time that it was done? I don't know if anybody has it on record. I don't know that since we've been keeping records of these, you know, Jewish history for the last, let's say, 2,000 years, I don't know if there's a case on record in which a man actually married off his daughter with the principle of Kiddush Ketana. I'm not saying that it happened. I'm not a historian. But I don't know about it. Certainly I would estimate that in the last 500 years it hasn't happened. Again, if someone knows that I'm wrong, correct me, because I didn't do the historical research so much. But now it supposedly happens. Man gets up and walks into a court of Jewish law, Bezdin, duly constituted Bezdin, with the names of three people, one of whom we actually do recognize, a rabbi who was a member of the Borough Park Rabbinate. As I understand, he has a real shul, or a real Beis Medrash, yeshiva, it's not a fraudulent name. And there is a testimony given in the presence of these three individuals, one of whom is a rabbi, which Mr. Goldstein says that he has betrothed his daughter, who was 7 years old. So, the Beis Din asks him, Mr. Goldstein, pray tell, to whom is she betrothed? He says, Mr. Goldstein, I'm not going to tell you. He asks the Beis Din, well, why not? Well, the answer is, my wife is killing me in court, and to punish her, I'm not going to reveal the identity of the chosen, of the groom. And therefore, not only is my wife going to be an aguna for all of her life from here on in, but my daughter will be an aguna as well. Only if my wife will give in on point A, B, or C, will I then reveal his identity. What do we call this in English? That's the word. Blackmail. As you can imagine, this thing made it into the newspapers. There were attempts to take legal action against this Mr. Goldstein. That attempt, they hauled him into court. And they said it was a $2 million lawsuit, I believe. They walked by a few numbers. For cruelty, and psychological trauma, I don't know, whatever they sued before these days. And in the court of law, Mr. Goldstein retracted his statement. Now we have two disputes in the halacha community. One, which was the cause, I recall, I was invited to come last summer to a major meeting of rabbis in New York City to handle the situation. They were afraid that chas v'shalom, it would multiply. And everyone who wanted had a problem would just to use this as his bomb to solve his, to take revenge in his aguna battle with his wife. I didn't come because it was too far to go. Had I been in New York, I would have gone. So it was exactly a year ago, it was in July. I wanted to mention one name of a rabbi who deserves special honorable mention. His name is Rabbi Ramanek from Far Rockaway. Some of you from that area may know who he is. Who really went all out in attempting to seek rabbinical solution to this problem. One of the great lights of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zichrono Livracha, had apparently made some statement to the effect that a man who these days, under such circumstances, declared that he's married off his daughter as an act of, as a weapon, is simply not credible, not believed. And there was a question whether that statement of Rav Shlomo Zalman was credible. He didn't put it in writing, then he passed away. There's a whole issue. Rav Neuwirth said he, Rav Tamil Lubick said he heard it, and his son testified that he heard it. There was a whole move on the part of other rabbis to quash that. Oh, don't ask what went on. And the rabbinical was pretty Byzantine also. But this Rabbi Ramlich, he really pushed very hard. And I'm proud to say almost that even little me, I even had a chelik. What did I do? This is let it go down in the record books, but this is not really, I didn't do much. I didn't do anything really, except that when I saw this was going on for months and there was no solution, and it was written in all the papers, the Post, everyone carried it in disparaging tones. So I called the highest person I could pick up the phone and call from New York. His name was Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg, Shalita. He is a major dayan in Yerushalayim. He happens to be our son-in-law. And I have a relationship with him. I called and said, Rebbe, help! Help! He said, it's a funny thing you asked. Funny thing you called. About 6 months ago, he said, it was Tishrei. I called him, I think, in Nissan, in the spring. He said, in the fall, the previous fall, or late previous summer, even, a rabbi came to me. I think his name was Rabbi Ramanek, he says to me. And I wrote him a chuk, it was 16 pages. And he never picked it up. It's long in my drawer. I said, what? I'm sending someone to pick it up for you right now. So I called someone else, he went and he picked it up. You know, Rabbi Snapnach has a tzaddik. Someone asked him a question, he wrote an answer, never came to pick it up. So it was long in his drawer. It would still be in his drawer, probably. I mean, maybe. Anyway, so that was my little chelik. I got the thing out of his drawer. If I don't know how to write drawers, I get him out of drawers. That's also something. That's also something. I should belittle that. Because if you get out of the drawer, it lies in the drawer, doesn't do too much. That shuva, other shuvas written by Gedolei Olam, Rav Stern before that shuva, others wrote shuvas, helped a little bit to knock that out of the. That became sort of a dead issue. It wasn't copied. So this Miss Goldstein, when she turns 18 or 20, she wants to get married. I'm assuming she'll get married, it'll be no problem. However, it'll work out, that's my assumption. Phew! Somehow or other, common sense prevailed, and this has not become a weapon of choice for recalcitrant spouses who are fighting with their estranged wives in court. But it could have happened. And if something had their way, it would happen. That's how the Shalom Bayis organization made its first big splash. But you know, one splash is not enough. Yes, especially if so things quiet down. So the organization had to think of new brilliant ideas. This time I came up with a real one. Put the first one away. So the first one is limited to the relatively few cases in the Jewish Orthodox Jewish community where the fight between husband and wife. I mean, with all the ballyhoo, 150,000 agunas, you ever see those crazy statistics? 150,000 agunas in New York City. So I read somewhere, he said, he thinks it's a total sofer. It's only 15,000. Someone once said, the world's going to come to an end in 10 billion years. I said, what? What'd you say? He said, 10 trillion years. One of the famous jokes. Both of them are absurd. Anyway, so we have a few people that could qualify for this nefarious plot of blackmail. It's still very limited. Thank God it didn't catch on. Goldstein recanted. And the organization made it to the papers, they got the headlines. The one rabbi whose name I know I'm very upset with, I don't know him personally, I assume he's an honest individual. I can't imagine that he's a person who's dishonest. I imagine his way of looking at things is different than my own. Most people in Borough Park look at things a little bit differently than I do. But all right, listen. I received, and someone came to my house collecting money just in June, with a whole series of shiurim in Borough Park, and he wants to collect money for them, and I saw the same as this rabbi, who last year I was ready to, you know, I was ready to do nothing, I was just upset at him. And now I see he's a member of good standing in the Borough Park rabbinate. He's giving shiurim together with the likes of, you know, honorable rabbis who we all respect, from the yeshiva and the Hasidic world, you know, we're not at all a suspect of anything. Okay, fine. So what's the latest? The latest is Shalom Bias organization has been noticing a terrible problem. People are having problems in their marital life. Ah, a terrible thing. They suddenly thought of a brilliant solution. Absolutely brilliant solution. What's that? Based on their understanding of the source of marital strife, to do with the tensions of halachic restrictions on intimacy between husband and wife, some of us are learning even the summer, the laws of marital purity, and even aside from that, there could be occasional friction between husband and wife, which prevent the man from enjoying physical closeness with his wife, and after all that causes a lot of stress and tension, and it's going to build up and lead to a spiral of spinning out of control, and the whole marriage can go down the tubes. It's a terrible thing.
No. So what's the solution?
It's an old solution. As old as the hills. It's a biblical solution. Just as marrying off your daughter is a biblical solution. They study Bible. Think, why you study Bible? These guys study Bible. In the Bible it says there exists an institution known as a concubine. The Hebrew word for it is a pilegesh. It's found in the Chumash. You don't have to look at Nach. Who was Nach? Everyone knows Chumash. I don't have a concord in front of me. Most of the incidences of the word, I think I would say the Bereshis, of Koda Matan Torah, so you can't make a proof from there. Is Pilegesh found after Matan Torah? Who's the one Matan Torah? Is it found? Where? No, it's not a Chumash. Oh. So you have to go to Tanakh. Good. So Nebuch, we have to open up Tanakh. What can I do? It's hard for us. Some of us don't even own one. But, yes. Wasn't there a sign on the office recently in one of the offices that the Issa Chomer against Bami Nach? Wasn't that the rabbinical office a few years back? They killed it off some wall and the guy did it for Purim, no? It was a copy of a parody, or maybe it was real, the Mayor Sharon. It was one of those parodies. Issa Chomer. It's a plus, it's a Gemara. Mid of an Echo and I go. Every Shek has a little bit of evidence. I told you, there's a little bit of evidence. You know what? A Pilegesh? Ha! Not just a flame. The kings of Israel had pilakshim. Wow! If a king can have a pilegesh, how much more so can a plain person have a pilegesh if it's permissible to the king? We don't believe, as the non-Jewish people do, that the king can do whatever he pleases. Plunder and molest. Chas v'shalom. We are a religion that certainly on the books, and for many parts of our history even off the books, but certainly on the books, de jure, if not de facto, the king is held accountable to more mitzvahs than the average individual. We know what it says in the Chumash, in Sefer Devarim again. The king has mitzvahs which no one else has, an extra Sefer Torah, restrictions about too many horses, and yes, other restrictions. So, how can it be that a woman, a pilegesh, is permissible to a king and should be permissible to a man living in Borough Park who wants to be a card-carrying member of the Shalom Bias organization? This already has mass appeal. So they set up a hotline. A Pilegesh hotline. Laughing. I would laugh too if I feel more like crying. And I thought I just wouldn't believe it. But at least based on what I read in the papers, and I want to introduce a caveat, I don't believe I'm going to read the papers. But Echad Shogeg, Echad Mezel B'Chilul Hashem, whatever truth there is to this story, it made a Chilul Hashem, as we say in America now, big time. New York Times, even bigger than the Washington Post. about a month or two ago, I saw the Sunday edition of the Washington Post. There's a second section, and the Washington Post is big, maybe bigger than the Times. It's the biggest Times in the pages are. Woo! The whole page, the whole front page with a big picture. I really forgot the catchy headline. There was something terrible. And it was just an attack on all of us. Everyone, you and me, all Orthodox Jews took a hit that day. And the story didn't stop at page one. It went over to page two. And they described in vivid, I would almost say lurid detail. I mean, not by American standards, but by Orthodox standards. What's going on with this hotline? And they have the hotline and they play the tape. You know, there's no one that picks up the phone, of course. It says a message. Hello, this is Yossi. If you're interested in Pilegish, please leave your name, your number, and a brief message. I mean, the messages are really, I mean, pathetic, human. You know, whether it's this is the newspaper man, here's the message. Now, they may have fooled them on the message, but it can't happen. I guess on the phone, hello, my name is such and such, my phone number is such and such. I'm happily married, but I needed something a little extra in life. I like a pilegish. I like she should be a brunette, 5'4", and if this kind of stuff. This is printed in the Washington Post. And then they go on, this guy Yossi is explaining the tremendous advantages that there are that exist in having a pilegish. Tremendous advantages. You know? After all, you know, they're the times of the month when the woman is prohibited to her husband until she goes to the mikvah. So we'll get the pilegish, and they'll plan it out so the pilegish will be on when the wife is off, and then the other way around, it's going to be just perfect. This is in the Washington Post. So you get all the, you know, the dirt coming out. And then there's all discussions, you know, a great thing about a pilegish. She'll never be an aguna. He doesn't marry her. It's great. See, they're creative. They're solving the aguna problem. Just don't get married. But you can't. People have their needs. No problem. Pilagesh. What a contribution. She'll get a Nobel Peace Prize. Shalom Bayis. And yes, great rabbi has to come into it, always. Always. This rabbi somehow has been, I don't know, he's been brought into many situations of controversial topics. His name is Rav Yaakov Emden. He's no longer alive. He's no longer alive for 200 years. But amongst his hundreds upon hundreds of responsa, there were two or three that people picked up on. The rest of us, we all look at. But two or three, which are not really viewed as sensationalist, about abortion and what about other things, whatever, not for now. In his, one of his responses, yeah, he thinks, based on his analysis of the halachic opinions of the earlier commentaries that we've shown him, he believes that a pilegish is permissible. And, you know, maybe it has certain advantages. That's what he writes. So Yossi quotes of Yaakov Emden, his rabbi. Well, let's have it. What is it in? What is the halacha? Is the pilegish permissible? Really? Or not? What's the story? What's the scoop? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Eben HaEzer, Simin Chof Vov Sif Aleph. A woman is betrothed, as we know, traditionally by kesef, by a ring, as we usually do it. That's how marriage takes place. Lucian Erison. If a man lives with a woman, not with the benefit of marriage, even if she's designated him, Yichdalo, we call her Pilegesh, she's not his wife, and we force him Lo tzia mi beiso, to send her away from his home. These are the words of Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Shulchan Aruch of Machab. The Rama quotes two opinions. Some say that the problem, what the reason why we chase her from his house, is since she's not married to him, she's not going to go to the mikvah. To be a nidah violation, which is a very serious prohibition. But if she goes to the mikvah, some say it's permissible. Is it pilegish? I told you, there's always a some say. But there's another some say, the Rambam, whose opinion we usually give, but the permissive opinion, no, that's only a woman who is not monogamous, quote unquote, not miyuchedes for one man. She, is a woman of ill repute who sells herself to the highest bidder to be a different one every night. That's the prohibition of Kadesh. But if, how would they say it, common law marriage or living together, various phrases used today in America, so some say that's permissible. The Rambam said it's a Torah prohibition and it's malchus. One of the highest forms of Torah prohibition. There's a third view. We call it a centrist view, which maintains that it's prohibited, but not on the pain of lashing. It's prohibited because you have When a man should live with a woman only in the context of marriage. If he's living with her out of the context of marriage, he has, by doing something, violated this commandment, the positive commandment. It's called an Isser Aseh. When you violate it, when the Torah says do this and it means don't do that, by implication, it's called an Isser Aseh. No malchus. So the three views: permissible, prohibited without malchus, prohibited with malchus. The Rambam's view. Of course, you may ask, how can anyone say it is in fact permissible, that it is in fact prohibited, if it's permissible to a king? How can it be? How can a king do something which you and I can't? So Rav Soloveitchik, live with a woman only in the context of marriage. If he's living with her out of the context of marriage, he has, by doing something, violated this commandment, the positive commandment. It's called an Isser Aseh. When you violate it, when the Torah says do this and it means don't do that, by implication, it's called an Isser Aseh, no Malchus. So the three views, permissible, prohibited without Malchus, prohibited with Malchus, the Rambam's view. Of course, you may ask, how can anyone say it is in fact permissible, excuse me, that it is in fact prohibited if it's permissible to a king? How can it be? How can a king do something which you and I can't? So Rav Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, has a beautiful interpretation of this anomaly. I won't go into all the details now, just mention very briefly. The Rav said, if you look carefully in the Rambam and Hilchos Melachim, he said that pilegesh is prohibited to everybody except for a king. And the only other instance where there's such an exception is what's called Amo Ivriya La'achar Yir. You learn Mishpatim, right? You learn Mishpatim? Yep, I learned it. The very beginning of Mishpatim. An Amo Ivriya is a Jewish maidservant, and after, if the master or his son wish to, in effect, marry her, they do Yirut. What is you? You is magic. Well, that could happen in my building. Yazir Atzmo Min HaTV. To me, his company is just one step away from the Shalom Bayis organization. Shem Yerachim. We have to be very careful. We, who live in a more open society than the people of the Shalom Bayis organization, in effect, are more susceptible to these crazinesses. We have to fight harder against it. That is our job. To strive for true Shalom Bayis, which is the opposite of what the Shalom Bayis organization stands for. Shalom, shalom, the ain't shalom. It's the best of times and the worst of times. We have so many wonderful Jewish homes, yet we have problems which exist even within the Orthodox society. Let us hope and pray that we will be able to overcome, to strengthen ourselves in our tznius, in our kedusha, in our tahara, in our proper relationships, so that these fringe organizations will not be able to make any inroads into mainstream Orthodoxy. Absolutely prohibited on the pain of lashing.